Exploring the Word is brought to you by Reclaiming America for Christ and the Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. This is Pastor Paul Blair. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. Today we're going to be completing a message that we began last time as Jesus was with some of his disciples inside the court of women around the treasury as the Jews were coming and giving special offerings to the Lord. And Jesus made some observations as he witnessed some of the gifts that were being brought. I hope that you enjoy these interesting observations as we examine the subject, Your Two Cents. It's not what you've got to give, but what God can do with what you do give.
We welcome you to the radio ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We invite you to join with us for today's Exploring the Word. Here's Pastor Paul Blair.
The boy began to grow hungry. Others were hungry as well. But what could he do about it? How could he possibly help with such a great multitude of 5,000 men plus women and children? While he was just a small boy, he had no riches. He had no credit card. All he had was lunch for one, his lunch. He could have taken his lunch and eaten it by himself, sustained his own needs for a while. But instead, he took what little he had, and he gave it to Jesus. And over 20,000 people, including himself, were blessed because of it. Folks, when Zerubbabel was getting discouraged with the work that God had called him to do and the rebuilding of the temple after the return from exile, God encouraged him in Zechariah 4:6 and said, "It is not by might and it's not by power, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Folks, it's not by our power, it's our commitment. God took all that little boy had to give, which wasn't much, but with God's blessings, he fed the multitude and still had leftovers. Christ is not looking for famous movie stars to tell others about him. He's looking for you. He's looking for you and whatever's in your hand. Christ is not depending on multimillionaires to give a $1 million donation to our building program. Just like that boy with his lunch, if we give ourselves to Jesus, you just watch what he can do with it. Consider Gideon, the smallest boy from the puniest family of the puniest tribe of all of Israel, down by the wine press, threshing, poor family, run to the litter. God said, "Hail, mighty man of valor." Gideon said, "Who, me?" God said, "Gideon, I've got a job for you." What did Gideon have to offer? Folks, let me tell you what Gideon had to offer. He had a pitcher, he had a lamp, and he had a trumpet. And with Gideon and 300 men, with nothing more than pitchers, lamps, and trumpets, God defeated the host of the Midianite invaders that looked like locusts covering the northern part of Israel. God's not impressed with what you have. God wants you to give what you have to him. Consider Shamgar. You say, "Who's that?" Good question. He's the third judge of Israel, mentioned in the book of Judges. Only one verse is dedicated to Shamgar. But what does it say? He was a judge during a time of Philistine oppression. And it says that Shamgar had nothing with which to defend his people except an ox goad. What's that? Something an old farmer uses to go out and keep the oxen in line. They start to turn away or don't want to work. When they're in there pulling the plow. "Hey, let me poke you a little bit and get going." We use one of those for our teenagers. But what was the point? Why did they mention this? One verse of scripture, and says that Shamgar defeated 600 Philistines with an ox goad. Hey, God wasn't looking for Shamgar to develop some M1 tank or a new AK-47. God wasn't depending on Shamgar to have the finest cutlery, the finest sword. All God was looking for was Shamgar and his obedience and to give what he had in his hand, which was nothing but an ox goad, and God took it and blessed it, and through God, they gained the victory and defeated 600 Philistines. Consider David, the youngest in his family. the runt of his family to begin with. Doing the most humble of jobs for the family, out watching his father's sheep. All the other brothers had more important callings. Yet God had a job for David to do. And when this uncircumcised Philistine was out profaning the God of Israel and defaming the children of God, there were none of the men of Israel that were willing to go out and stand against him. With all of their armor and all of their weaponry, none of them would go out and stand. What did David have? Nothing but a slingshot. Hey, it wasn't what David had that God needed. God just wanted David's obedience and David's willingness to give God what he had. David, what do you got there? Slingshot? That's enough. Let's go, son. God, how many rocks should I take? Well, you're only going to need one for Goliath, but go ahead and pick up four more in case his brothers want any piece of you. David gave God all that he had to give, which wasn't much by the world's standards. But that's what God wants. God's not impressed with how much we have to give. God wants it all. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not trying to say that God does not need the super wealthy and the super intelligent or the super talented. He can use them too, but God uses everybody. God is looking for you and whatever you happen to have in your hands to serve him. What can you do, Moses? All you have is a stick in your hands. You're nothing but a shepherd in the wilderness. You have no beauty. You have no wealth. You have no army. But what Moses did have, he gave to God, and God used it to birth a nation. Hey, what can you do, Mary? You don't have much at all. You don't have a husband. You don't have a child. You don't have much material wealth, but you do have a little bottle of perfume. Now, you could save it for yourself for your wedding day. You could use it for months to make yourself smell more beautiful. But instead, Mary gave it what she had to God, and her name is remembered throughout history. Hey, boy, what do you have there? 5 loaves and 2 fish? Just a small lunch? Not much. You don't have any money, do you, son? You don't have any kind of a career or any kind of a notoriety. What do you have there, boy? I've got a lunch, sir. And this boy gave his lunch to Jesus, and Jesus blessed and fed tens of thousands with it. Folks, what do you have? Well, I'm a housewife. What can I give to God? Mary of Bethany is famous for using her pots and pans and feeding Jesus and the disciples. The widow of Zarephath baked for Elijah. Why don't you give your pots and pans to God? What do you mean, Pastor? We need cookies up here for our kids and our WANA group. Why don't you do that for God? But that's not much. What's God equipped you with? Give what you have to God. God didn't call you, dear lady, to be the pastor of this church. God called me to do that. God didn't call you to lead the truck stop ministry. God raised up a Jerry Brown to do that, and he's raising up others. What did God call you to do? What has God gifted you with? What has God equipped you with? Whatever it is, what is that in my hand? Whatever it is, give it to God. You know, we used to have a dear lady, Breda Frisbee, and she would bake the most phenomenal cookies and things, and our visitation teams would take them out, and on the way to visit families, they would eat the cookies themselves. No. No, but that's a great gift. When we have people that come and visit our church, you have the ability to bake. We could use that. We have little treats, and when we go and visit those that are visitors, we can give them a little gift, and they'll think even more warmly of Fairview Baptist Church. You say, well, Brother Pastor, I can't bake. Do you have some spare time? Can you write cards? Can you write a letter to those in your Sunday school class that perhaps have missed a few times? Can you perhaps write a letter of encouragement to Eleanor McClennan as she's going through a grieving process? Can you write a letter to call up and talk to Sue and say, Sue, what visitors did we have this week? Can I get a couple of their addresses? I'd like to write them a letter and welcome them to our church and hope that they come back. I can't bake, Pastor. Do you have time? Can you write? Can you type? Can you email? Amen. What can you do with that stick, Moses? What can you do with that lunch, little boy? What can you do with that slingshot, David? Hey, give it to God and watch what God can do with it. Say, Pastor, I can't drive anymore. I don't have the strength to get out and make visits like I once did. Let me ask you, do you have a phone? Give it to God. Why don't you call our church family that's missing? Call our church family that's struggling. Call our church family that's sick. Call those that are absent and need to be called upon. Call those that visit and just chat with them. Say, hey, I wasn't there Sunday because I'm under the weather, but how did you enjoy church? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? You say, I'm too young or too old to do much, but I do have some time. Did you pray for me today? Have you prayed for members of our church family today? Knowing that every Sunday morning, Brother Jerry is going to be down there and Brother Jim's going to be down there preaching to a bunch of lost truck drivers. Saw 105 professions of faith last year. Hey, I can't do much, Pastor. I can't drive. I can't do this, can't do that. Can you pray? What a privilege we have to pray. Amen. Can you pray for the truck stop ministry? Can you pray for our sick? Can you go through our prayer list that we get on Wednesday nights and go down name by name and line by line? Can you go through our church directory and we're getting ready to have a new updated directory? Can you go through our directory and through a systematic process pray for each family and each member of our family? Oh, Pastor, that's not much. Hey, God wants you to give Him what you have. Amen. Say, Pastor, I don't have any money, but I've got some tools and some ability. Why don't you give that to God? I'm so thankful. I had a meeting with a man this week that offered this, and I haven't promoted it yet, but he said, you know, I'm not a skilled finished carpenter, but I can do carpentry. I can fix hot water heaters. I can do this and do that. If we've got some folks in our home, in our church that need some help, I'd like to go help them. You know, we've got some wonderful elderly folks, senior saints, from a generation that didn't ask people for help. They were used to pulling themselves up by their own bootstraps, rolling up their sleeves and tackling a task. But now they're at a point where they need some help, but they're still too stubborn to ever ask for it. Hey, we need some of you. If you've got some ability to where you can go fix a leaky faucet or change a washer on a sink or something along those lines, obviously you can tell by my lingo, I can't do any of that. Thank God. I taught my wife long ago when we were first married. I tried to fix one thing, wound up costing us twice as much to fix it after I got done with it. Amen. And she has ceased asking me to fix anything. We just called to have it done. Heard a story of a lady that was boiling hot water on her stove and carrying it down the hallway to warm her bath because the hot water heater in that part of the house wasn't working. But she didn't want to be a bother and was afraid it might cost too much to have it fixed. Hey, we've got men in this church that may not have money, but they've got some tools, some time, and ability. If that's what you have to give, hey, Mr. Pharisee, with your $100,000, hey, congratulations, but I'm more impressed with this lady. She only had two mites, but she was willing to give it all to Jesus. You say, but I'm only a teenager. I don't have money. But I do have a strong back and some extra time. I can mow a yard. Or I can paint a fence. Or clean out gutters. Or some of our young ladies may go over to some of our older ladies and help them clean house one day a month or one day every other week. Folks, you don't realize what kind of a service and what kind of a ministry that can be. Yes, we are all to be soul winners. We are all to be salt and light. We are to live a life that will draw people to Jesus. However, there are some gifted men that are soul winners, like a Jerry Brown. And we may have some that are maybe not that quite outgoing. Hey, God still wants to use you in a multitude of different ways. You like to talk? Join Evangelism Explosion. We have gone through many soul winning programs in this church. And they are all valuable. Like having different tools in your toolbox that you know how to use. But EE is tremendous because it teaches you on-the-job training. You get taught the guideline of how to share your testimony and how to share the gospel clearly and concisely. And then you have the opportunity to go out with experienced visitors and see how it's done. And little by little, learn how it's done. And be brought into that process. Be brought into the fold of being a soul winner. If you, why don't you participate in that? We're getting ready to start another semester. You say, I don't talk well. Neither did Moses. But take some tracts with you. Hand them out. When you're at the restaurant, leave one for your waiter. When somebody comes and knocks on your door and visits, drop something off at your office, give them a tract. Invite them to church. If you're not comfortable talking to them in detail, invite them. Hey, let me talk to them. Rumor has it I can talk. You say, I want to teach. But Pastor, we don't have room to teach. You're right. Praise the Lord, we've got a full building. Every Sunday school room is taken. We don't have room to grow as far as our classes right now. We're trying to grow in numbers. That's why we've moved an auditorium class in here. But if you want to teach somebody, why don't you teach somebody individually? What do you mean? Why don't you be a mentor? Hey, you've been married 25 years, been married 30 years, been married 50 years. Why don't you take one of these young couples under your wing, invite them over for dinner every now and then, and teach them how to be godly parents. Hey, some of you experienced ladies, teach some of these younger ladies with godly wisdom how that they are to serve the Lord in fear and chastity as a humble mother and wife. Hey, some of you godly men, take some of these young men and teach them how they're to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Hey, there's plenty of opportunities to teach. You don't have to stand in front of a lectern and teach a class. You can teach them one by one, couple by couple. You say, I don't like teaching. What can I do? We need listeners. We need listeners for our Awana ministry. We need people that can sit and listen to these precious children as they recite verses that they've memorized. We need listeners for Child Evangelism Fellowship. We're getting ready to go. What school are we getting ready to go into, Mary? What school? Northern Hills. We're getting ready to go into Northern Hills this semester and start a Child Evangelism Fellowship class where parents will give us the permission one day a week to spend an hour and a half with their children after school in the classroom, give them treats, cookies, whatever, spend some time visiting with them about their day. Somebody, a trained member, will present them a Bible study and teach them about the Bible and present Jesus Christ to them. And you'll have an opportunity to be their friend and be a grandma or an uncle that perhaps they don't have. And we'll have the privilege of loving on these kids and loving them into the kingdom and telling them about Jesus and getting them saved. Folks, I'm not necessarily asking you to give up your job and surrender to full-time ministry, but if God calls you to that, then you do that. But what God is asking you is to give what you do have to Him. Folks, we have been called together for such a time as this. And if I can have your attention for about 5 more minutes, I'll wrap this up. But this is an amazing church. We're not very full today. We've got a lot of our people gone. Understandable. But this is an amazing church. Bob Cardenas, my former associate pastor that went home to be with the Lord about 2 years ago, made this statement to me one day in the nursing home. He said, Pastor, we have a most unusual church. And I said, how's that, Brother Bob? He said, I've pastored 8 churches in my life, but I have never been in a church that loves Jesus and loves each other the way this church does. Folks, I guess we've got something special here. Unfortunately, we do. This is the way every church is supposed to be. Had one man has grown up in church, spent his life in church, that said to me a year ago, serves in our church. I'll not call him by name because I don't want to embarrass him. But he said to me, this is the church I've been looking for my whole life. Boy, that's high praise. We've had people come to our church, although we're ridiculed by those that have never been here and don't know what we're doing. Oh, you're just a political church. All they do is preach politics, hogwash. All we do is preach the Bible, and sometimes the Bible addresses political issues. Amen. Have had people that joined our church, got saved here, said, I had attended such and such a church for 20 years. I've learned more Bible in the last month than I've learned in the last 20 years. Praise the Lord for that. We've got something special going on here, folks. And let me tell you, for 6 years, God used a man named Jonathan Edwards. And Jonathan Edwards got in his pulpit in Northampton, Massachusetts, and proclaimed truth. And they finally, after 6 years, started to see a few souls saved, and a few more saved, and a few more saved. And then a family got saved, and this family got saved, and people were visiting. And all of a sudden, people from other communities got saved, and they were going back to their communities, and their churches were catching it. And eventually, an event that history knows as the Great Awakening swept across the American colonies because of one pastor in one small, humble church that God stirred up. Who knows if God's not doing a similar work using us? Our EE programs, we had dozens saved this last year. I was so encouraged to hear Cody practicing his EE, and he was able to lead his sister to Christ and his mother to Christ and others. Our truck stop ministry, as Brother Jerry has been able to mentor and train some of our other men, Jim, and we got two or three guys that are now going down there working. We got the Stones that go and sing. Our truck stop ministry, we played a part as a church in seeing 105 people last year make professions of faith in Jesus Christ. That's a praise the Lord. Amen. Folks, we had 42 baptized last year. And that's not something to brag about. And I'm not bragging, but here's one point I want to make that is phenomenal. Quite frankly, I'd like to see 142 next year. Amen. But the thing that's remarkable is out of those 42 that were saved and baptized in this church, virtually every one of them are still in this church. Amen. Now that's the point. We want to get them saved, but then we want to disciple them and bring them into the family and grow them and teach them and make them a part of the body. We had over 2,500 people attend Reclaiming America for Christ this last year. We had some 1,500 attend when we brought Brigitte Gabrielle into town. Hey, we've been able to stir up churches across the state and around the country, and we awakened, and it's only the beginning of the awakening, a Christian voting public, and we made our voices known at the polls. But ladies and gentlemen, this is just the beginning. The Republicans have the same sin nature as those filthy Democrats, and we've got to hold their feet to the fire now that they're in office. Because they want to slide out here and say, oh, social issues aren't important. It's all about economics. Baloney. Social issues or moral issues are important to us. Met with 19 pastors yesterday, challenging them. Hey, we got a good group in our Reclaiming. Met with 19 specifically yesterday by invitation only to challenge them to step forward and go to the next level. Fear facing persecution, but quit straddling the fence and really lead. I challenged them to get their churches on their knees every Sunday in prayer, to stress evangelism, to preach the gospel, to preach against sin, to give invitations in your churches again, and to raise a regiment inside your church. Folks, I want a group of minutemen in our church that will charge hell with squirt guns if I ask you to go with me. And if I, let me tell you what all that's in. And I want it. I want to dedicate. Hey, folks, when the British were coming, if Jonas Clark had said, "Hey, church," oh, sorry, Pastor, we're tired tonight. I was up late last night. Hey, they all grabbed their muskets and they came running. And it was his church that was standing in Lexington Green. When we've got something comes up, if we need to do a soul winning push on a Saturday, we're going to go out and reach this neighborhood. And I call. Unless you're providentially hindered, I want you to be here. If there's something going on the first day of this legislative session and our newly elected Republicans are trying to pull some shenanigans and act like Democrats, and I say, hey, folks, we need to go down there and sit in the rotunda and greet them when they walk in there. We need to be sitting in the balcony letting them see that we're there watching. Amen. That unless you're providentially hindered, you can't get off work or you're in school. Unless there's a great reason, I want you to be there. When something happens and they're trying to put some kind of bill underneath the covers that we don't approve of, and I send out an email and say, guys, we need to fire off an email and call Senator so-and-so right now and let him know how we feel about this. I expect you to go, you got it, Pastor, and pick up the phone and call. And it's not just us. I hope to have at least 100 of our congregation that will commit to doing that. But I've got 19 other pastors that have committed to doing the same thing too. And if this one's got 10, and that one's got 50, and that one's got 75, and this one's got 14, and this one's got 83, And we decide that we need to go down there. And by the way, it'll be for important stuff. We won't just make false alarms. I can assure you that. We can make a difference. I have a dream for this place. I want to see a thriving Christian school here where every one of our families can afford to put their kids in it and be a part of it. I want to see a beachhead for fundamental Christianity and saving America birthed here. I've got a vision for God. By the way, oh, Pastor, you've only got this little building. You only got 15,000 square feet and 400 seats. What can you do that? Hey, God, this is yours. What are you going to do with it? Amen. I can't do anything with it. But what we have, we're given to Him. It's His. Amen. I'd love to see a headquarters with Bill Federer officing here. And Peter LaBarbera officing, Bill leading the fight for the return to Christian heritage, Peter LaBarbera leading the fight to stop the homosexual agenda, Liberty Council or ADF or somebody having a branch office here defending Christian liberty, Elijah Abraham coming out and coming up here and doing the battle against the spread of Islam. Aren't you afraid of getting criticized? Not in the least. That's my dream. Amen. Folks, we're going to need more space. We need more classrooms. We'll need a bigger building. How are you going to do that, Pastor? I don't have the slightest clue. But I'm going to work as hard as I can with what God has entrusted to us. Amen. And I trust that God will provide what we need when we need it. Amen. Folks, God has a job to do, and He has called you and me to do it. What is that in your hand? Two pennies? Stick? Slingshot? Whatever it is, give it to God. Let's see what He can do. We thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word, and we look forward to being with you next time. Until then, may God bless you.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We hope that today's journey in God's Word has been a blessing to you. You can find more sermons and resources at our church's website, www.fairviewbaptistedmond.org, or call 405-348-1745. Join us again each weekday for Exploring the Word from Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond.